The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 724. It's the 2nd of March, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Clive Carver, chairman of Roxy Petroleum. That's R-O-X-I. And Clive covers the proposed merger in respect of the company's Aragon assets. Also on the podcast, I have Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy. ZEN is ticker there, and Andrea covers some of the highlights from their third quarter results. I also have Charlie Long, resource analyst at Beaufort Securities, talking about Solo Oil. And Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, talking about Capita Group, their results. Merlin Entertainment, also results out. And Cobham, C-O-B there. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And today's top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Clive Carver, chairman of Roxy Petroleum. That's R-O-X-I ticker. Clive, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, first time on the podcast. It's always nice to get a new company on and chat about it because we can share the story with the listeners here. So first and foremost, Clive, Roxy Petroleum. Give us a brief summary as to what it's all about.
Roxy is an oil and gas company, exploration and production. We're based in Kazakhstan. Our principal asset is BNG, which is 40 kilometers from Tengiz, which is one of the world's leading 10 oil and gas developments at the moment. BNG is roughly the size of the M25. We are drilling there both on the deep and the shallow. I'll come on to that later on. In terms of the company, we were founded in 2006 and joined AIM in 2007. And the only time we've raised money from the public markets was back in 2007 when we raised $78 million on IPO. Since then, we've been really funded by the industry. And last year, we sold our second asset, Galas, for $100 million to a Chinese buyer, of which our take was $23 million, which we've used together with production revenues. We're producing at about 1,500 barrels a day at the moment from the from some of the shallow wells. And that is funding our drilling program at the moment.
Excellent. I think you've done this before, Clive. That's quite impressive there. Looking at the news, your most recent news was the proposed merger. Now, can you go over the details here, please, Clive?
Yeah, so when we bought BNG, which was a package of three assets back in 2008, we owned and continue to own 58.41%. Part of the deal was that we would carry our partners, Bavistock, for the first $100 million of spending, which we did, and we reached $100 million of spending back in January 2015. Since then, we have tried and now hopefully successfully achieved the merger with Bavistock. Bavistock is a company which has four shareholders, the largest of which is our own chief executive, Quan Harasman, who has 53% of the company of Bavistock. A Korean public company has 30%, and then there are other investors. What we wanted to do was to make sure that the pace at which we could develop Roxy was not governed by the slowest of the partners, because going forward, each has to fund their portion. So what we're doing is we are issuing more Roxy shares and cancelling the shares that Bavistock has in Aragon, our principal subsidiary, which is going to have the effect from taking the market cap at the minute from about £95 million up to about £160 million, which is about the $200 million level, at which point we think will be a lot more interesting to potential investors, particularly institutional investors.
Yes, got it. Okay. All right. So let's go through some of your assets in detail, and you can tell me exactly where you are as far as exploration or producing, and at what state of play, please, Clive, if you could.
Yes, well, on BNG, which is by far the main asset, so I'll focus on that. We have interest in both shallow and deep wells. So shallow wells are typically wells that go down to about 3,000 meters. We have three different areas of interest there. One is an area of interest, Yelamis, from the old Soviet days, where we have a number of wells which typically produce up to about 100 barrels a day. So these are not going to set the world on fire, but they're worth collecting, but it's not the future of the company. So that's where we started. Since then, we have had three successful wells, which are 141, 142, and 143 on what we call the MJF structure. And in aggregate, these wells are producing at the rate of 1,500 barrels a day, which is the majority of where the production is coming from at the moment. And then finally, on the shallow side, we have a new structure that we're drilling a well at the moment to a total depth of 2,900 metres. We're about 2,600 metres down, and we would hope that we'll have the same sort of level of success with this structure that we've had with the MGF structure. That really is the shallow wells. The very exciting prospects that are on the deep wells, these are wells of about 5,000 metres. We've drilled three of these wells over the last few years. One of the issues we have there is very high temperature and very high pressure. So once the wells are drilled, it is an art to bring them onto production. We are closing in on that, and we are hopeful that we will do that with some, if not all, in the next calendar year, and some much sooner than that. So these are wells that potentially we would expect to produce at up to 3,000 barrels a day, and as such would be transformational for the company.
Yeah, so are you saying, so 3,000 barrels a day is the total for Roxy, is that what you're aiming for?
No, that's the potential from one of these deep wells.
Oh, okay.
Just one of the deep wells. In terms of the future, the potential is much greater, because as we develop the field, we would obviously drill a lot more wells. But the hope is that we have some of the similarities to the Tengiz field, which is 40 kilometres up the road and is producing a huge number of barrels a day.
Yeah. So I mean, what's the resource size, and do you have a target in mind here for ideally what you'd like to be producing at Roxy?
Well, I think the short-term target is very much linked to the license renewal.
Yeah.
Our current license is due for renewal in June next year, and our target then is that we have reserves of 100 million tonnes, which is about 700 million barrels of P2 reserves. If we can demonstrate that by the middle of next year, then we would qualify under the Kazakh rules for a 49-year license. If we fell short of that, it would be a 29-year license. So that's our short-term target.
Yeah. And what about the cost of producing here, Clive?
The cost actually is something that we've managed, I think, particularly well. One of the reasons is just the lack of activity in the industry has meant that rig prices have been lower in the past few years. But our experience is that for deep wells, and these are wells of about 5,000 metres, we're typically paying somewhere between $8 and $10 million a well, and for the shallow wells, something between $1 and $1.5 million. I think the other thing that we've benefited from is the continued depreciation of the Kazakh currency, the tenge against the dollar, which has meant that in the last 4 years we've been able to reduce our G&A costs year on year. So actually, we are, I would imagine, one of the lowest cost operators in the market.
Okay, excellent stuff. So so if someone sort of follows you now on Fox, what is the sort of next bit of news they can expect to see from you, or next milestone you're hoping to hit here?
In the very short term, we have the completion of the merger. We have the general meeting of our Roxy shareholders on the 24th of March, and that would also then change the name of the company to Caspian Sunrise, as we think it marks a new beginning, both in terms of announcing where we're focused and also the potential going forward. In terms of operational news, I think we're going to have news on the progress of the shallow well I mentioned earlier on, going down 2,900 metres. There may also be some news coming up in terms of a review of the shallow reserve based on some drilling successes earlier on in the year. And then the big news would be if any of the deep wells started to produce on a consistent basis.
Excellent. Okay.
All of which I think should be in the next quarter.
Yeah. Busy time for you then. So, okay.
Yes.
Clive, every day on the podcast, I highlight top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. And to do that, someone has to sort of add you to their watch list by hitting the follow button. Now, if someone's not following Roxy Petrol at the moment, now give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please, Clive, on your page.
Okay, well, I think we would contend that our sort of current valuation is very much supported by our existing production. So anything new would be a plus. So in terms of the three things to happen, one, I think, would be the fairly extensive news flow we're expecting in the next quarter, which I've just run through, both in terms of shallow and deep operational issues, all of which hopefully would be a reason for the company to be better regarded than at the moment. I think the next is the completion of the merger. That would be the second one. I think being a market cap of $200 million is likely to make us of interest to a wider audience, particularly some institutional fund managers. But the main reason is the potential for just one of these deep wells coming in. I think it would be transformational, and we would hope to be able to announce one or more of those in the next quarter. So those would be my three reasons.
Marvellous, Clive. Thank you very much. And like you said, it's a busy quarter for you. So no doubt we'll speak again off the back of some news. And so I look forward to that. Thank you very much, Clive.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy. That's ZEN ticker. Andrea, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for your time, Justin.
That's okay. Where are you at the moment, Andrea?
I am in a Chinese airport. The company has declared in the prospectus that is buying a rig for drilling new wells into our large asset in Azerbaijan. So we are complying with the plan, and I am negotiating here in China in various regions of big China with the manufacturers that are most courageous and supporting us in buying in credit the rig so we can develop our property at best.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to catch up with you in the Chinese air. Listen, I've caught up with you everywhere. I've talked to you in Azerbaijan, I've talked to you at the London Stock Exchange, now in China. So you're a truly international man. And for people not quite aware of what you do at Zenith, can you give us a brief summary, Andre, as to what it's all about, please?
Absolutely. We are a very undervalued owner of a very big asset in Azerbaijan, 642 square kilometers of prime land for producing oil. The plot of land has created in the past a production to the level of 15,000 barrels per day, then some technical accident, and then the collapse of Soviet Union has brought this field in oblivion, and then has been given to us just a few months ago in August 2016, and we are fully redeveloping this field to the original capacity, but of course bringing, after 20 years of oblivion, new techniques, new technology from Canada, and the equipment that I am trying to buy here in China will permit to be independent from the very expensive service company that have brought so many junior company to collapse because of the debt. So we intend to do the drilling of a stream of new wells with our own equipment. If we do that, of course, production can go back gradually to the historical peaks. At the moment, we produce 300 barrels of oil, but we plan to be, by the 31st of 2018, to 1,000 barrels per day.
Excellent. Okay, so it was, when was it, yesterday you released your third quarter results. So take us through some highlights, if you could, Andrea.
Well, you know, it's important to explain. We come from a period in which we didn't have such profitability in Azerbaijan, because Azerbaijan has just been conquered as an asset a few months ago, as I said. We had as well a problem in Argentina with the local distribution of oil, for which our turnover went down. So it's been a difficult period, the first part of 2016. Our year end closed at the 31st of March 2017. So this is the last quarter. And the previous quarter already has shown the profitability of Azerbaijan, which has been in excess of our expectation. So that has been net profit. And then we have as well realized a capital gain of 600 million Canadian dollars, so quite a large amount, although it's a paper profit. And then we have had some cash losses due to the heavy expenses in quarter three in preparation of our IPO in London, which happened in the took place in the 11th of January 2017, so in quarter four. So in this quarter three, people see the expenses but don't see yet the IPO. But everybody knows that in January, IPO took place. So altogether is a financial statement that gives a lot of confidence. Our debt now is very low in respect to our equity. and that is extremely low. And then we are reducing that continuously. And then the IPO has brought us, of course, even a better ratio with some additional cash in the balance sheet from the new shareholders. So I think that reading the quarter result plus reading in the result the subsequent event, somebody that spends half an hour of time can have a very good impression of where we are going.
Yes, so exactly. So pretty much you are happy at the moment with your target there in March of next year. You're happy that you're doing the right progress, you're making headway towards that target. Is everything going to plan?
Yes, everybody at the moment is confident that the plan can be respected. So, you know, we are just putting in practice a variety of steps, and it's hard work, very hard work. You see how much we travel to reach the various counterparties that are involved in this project. But now we are very much refocused only in one area, apart visiting China for buying the equipment, the machine. For the rest, we are very much concentrated in Azerbaijan, as we have disposed 2 weeks ago of Argentina, which was very far, was a small asset, and was troubled, so we dispose of it, so we have no more distraction for the management to try to cure an old situation, and now we can focus fully in our best asset.
Excellent. Well, it's good to hear that, Andre. And listen, as you know, you're well rehearsed at this, but every day in the podcast, I do ask every company for three reasons why someone should follow you. So could you give me those three brief reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please, Andre?
I cannot be tired enough to repeat all the time the same point. We are very, very undervalued. The financial statement of the last quarter appeared yesterday, proved that, and show the evolution from our undervalued situation to a blossoming of the asset to their real meaning. The second is that we are extremely committed as a team to develop the Azeri asset, which is huge. And then, of course, it's very important to have a huge asset for a junior like ours, because it's where all our credentials and hopes lie. And the third one is that our production of oil is due to increase in the very near future, in the next month, and so that will give to the investors the thrill that we are really going as per plan.
Excellent, Andre. Good to talk to you as always, no matter where you are in the world, and I look forward to chatting to you again very soon. Thank you very much.
I hope the next conversation will be from London, so we feel more at home. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Andre.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Charlie Long, Resources Analyst at Beaufort Securities. Charlie, thank you for coming back on.
It's a pleasure.
Now, you cover quite a few stocks. Today we're talking about Solo Oil, and just give us a brief background before we get into the news. What's Solo Oil all about, please, Charlie?
So their main project at the moment is in Tanzania, where it's a gas project in Tanzania. They own 25% of this. Amonex is the operator with the balance. They drilled a well a few years back called Ntoria 1, which was a commercial discovery. That flow rate there was about 20 million cubic feet a day. And this is the second well they're drilling, which was spudded in December, which is, they would call it an appraisal well. And they're looking to basically increase the size of the project. And next step would be going to, you know, into commercial production. So they spudded this second well back in December. In early Feb, they hit 50, this is what they announced, a 50 meter thick gas-bearing reservoir, which was better than they expected, within which there was sort of 25 to 30 meters of net pay, and significant gas influxes, higher than expected pressures. So that was a really good result. Share price have done it excellently since then. But what everyone's waiting for is the flow test, which they've taken a while to come through, but we expect them to be through next week. They've, you know, they put a 7-inch liner down there. They've cemented that sort of 30-meter section of pay, and they're going to be, if they're not flow testing it now, they're going to be flow testing in the next couple of days, and we're expecting good results.
Yeah, and just to point out, Solo is sort of an investment company, aren't they? So this is one of their investments there, and this
That's
is the
right.
most active yeah. at the moment, and it looks to be going really well. And so you reckon when? Next week, you're saying, is when it's coming out?
I can't be sure. I think people are probably expecting it by now. I don't think there's any issues, anything serious. When you're doing these things in the middle of nowhere in Africa or wherever you might be, you know, things can... Technical things can slow you down, but I don't think there's any issues. It's just takes some time, and I'm hoping next week. It could be early, it could be tomorrow, but I'm hoping next week, and I'm expecting flow rates within the range that they've talked about in the past, so sort of 15 to 25 million cubic feet a day. I think the fact that in the last announcement, early Feb, they said that they had higher than expected pressures, means that I'd be hopeful that we might have some quite good results. And you know, I think we already know, if you know, if anyone had any doubt about the sort of the economics of this project based on the first well, you know, the results so far, and hopefully the flow test next week will show that as a whole, this project is, you know, commercially viable. It's potentially very big, and you know, the good results on the second well, this NT2 well, just generally de-risks the whole project on the sort of geologically, basically. And I mean, the contingent resources as well. I think NT1, I think it was 70 BCF. I want to say, I think that will probably at least double, could triple. So you know, the project's growing in size. It's being de-risked. And we expect good flow results next week.
Yeah. So even though so it looks all good. So even though the share price has rallied strongly, I'm looking at the chart here, and it's gone up from let's say in December, it was at 0.25 pence. It's now 0.75 pence, almost a triple. So even though it's rallied strongly, there's still potential upside here, considering this will de-risk, like you say, NT3.
Yeah, there's potentially upside here. I mean, you never know when, let's say they had really good flow tests results next week. There may be people using that catalyst, or that event, to take profit. So sometimes you get, you know, it's one of those things very difficult to predict. But if they're excellent results, then there's more buyers than sellers. The shares could go up. From these levels on that news. So, but then sort of longer term, you know, definitely this is a very interesting, potentially large gas project. I think the next step would probably be 3D seismic. You know, it's a proper project which deserves good quality data, and then they'll also, I guess, be talking about how they're going to get it into production and monetize it, which would be likely a sort of an early production system where they basically produce and sell gas themselves to local industries. I know there's a big cement plant next door, which uses a lot of energy. So they'll be looking at those sorts of studies to try and get this thing, you know, monetize this thing. But if it, you know, the bigger it is, the better. And the fact that it's onshore enables them to do things like an early production system. You know, if you're offshore, you might discover 2 TCF of gas, but the cost of getting that into a, you know, well, turning that into a business is huge, and much too much for a small company like Aminex and Solo.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I like the way you said it's a proper project, needs proper data, and I like that. Okay, Charlie. So I like to do this always. So if someone's you know, looking at Solo now, and they need a bit of further convincing, give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on their page, please.
I would say that we've got flow test results coming very soon. The results so far suggest that they should be very good. And thirdly, you know, this project, this Antoria project, has potential to be a very large gas project onshore in Tanzania, and you know, there's quite a long way to go.
Marvellous. Well, Charlie, good to speak to you again, and hopefully let's get you on next week, because I know I had Brian McMaster from Harvest Minerals on the podcast in the week, and so it'd be nice to get an update on those from you as well. So hopefully we'll speak next week. Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, no worries. Cheers, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is founder of financialorbit.com, Chris Bailey. How are you, Chris? You all right?
Hello, good morning, Justin. Yeah, very well, thanks, very well.
Yes, now I do my minute sort of update in the markets, and I noticed two things. First and foremost, the Dow has beaten 21,000, and it seems like almost a couple of days ago we were saying, will it break 20,000? And also now the FTSE, record highs. So what's happening? Everything's good in the world, yeah? All the economies are powering ahead on 12 cylinders. I mean, so nothing's going wrong, is it? Is it all good, Chris, do you think? Is it all happening?
I can assure all the listeners that everything is not awesome. The reality is, you know, Mr. Trump obviously gave a reasonably well-received speech the other evening. That helped. Markets are responding to, let's face it, some good corporate earnings data, which has come out over recent months, and the fact that central banks generally have still got quite loose policy, despite the fact the Fed may increase rates sooner rather than later. You put it all together, it's a combination of cheap money, bit of euphoria, some decent fundamental numbers in the middle, and people are extrapolating effortlessly into the future. As you know, anyone who's been around markets more than a few months knows that the reality is that things go up and down. Ultimately, you've got to back ingenuity and innovation. Humans are pretty good at creating value over time. Let's face it; otherwise, the world would not be in the development state that it is. But ultimately, I think people are a little bit too euphoric at the moment. What I find interesting is that retail money is going through the roof, pouring into the stock market. And typically that kind of indicates that maybe we're at a point where there's a pause. The way I'm playing it is quite simple. I'm not buying passive funds. I'm not buying index funds. I don't think they'll make you any money during 2017 from here. What you have to buy is a selection of stocks. It's a stock picker's market. I don't think it's a market where you buy a passive fund, sit back and let it do the hard work. I think you've got to get out there, do your homework. I think it's going to get trickier from here on in.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's always good to do a bit of research on a company and then have it proved right as well. I think, you know, it's nothing more satisfying. I think if you are in stocks and shares, you do the research. And if you're not, you sort of, by all means, you know, do a tracker fund. But I just think this, you know, I love it. So
precisely. There's the game aspect, which is always interesting and fascinating. But actually, I think in today's world, it's a specific world. You know, there are 1,001 risks out there. And of course, 1,001 reasons to be optimistic too. But I think the reality is there's just a bit too much euphoria. And, you know, the 20,000 to 21,000 Dow, the rampant FTSE, the rampant FTSE 250, you know, is indicative of that. And when, you know, I've now got a lot of people coming to me and saying, wow, I've done really well on stocks, aren't I a genius, aren't I Warren Buffett? And the reality is they're just climbing up the beta wall. I think it's going to be one where you've got to take a bit more focus on alpha on your individual stock selection going forward.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk about stocks today. And there's a couple of big companies reporting. What do you want to start with, Chris?
Yeah, well, we might as well start with Capita. So let's start with something that hasn't in any way participated in the stock market rally of the post-Brexit referendum period. I mean, Capita, I do honestly think, I'm not going to say it live on air, but I do think there should be an R between the C and the A, because it's been an absolute shocker. That the stock has come down from 11 quid a year ago, actually less than a year ago, to half that share price today, and it's down 5% today. Look, there's two interesting things on the stock this morning. Number one, finally the CEO has walked. I mean, this guy, he's been 16 odd years at Capita, not all of the time as CEO, I admit, but honestly, it was time to walk. There was just a plenty of issues, contracts, overruns, challenges, issues, write-downs, etc. It's been an absolute shocker, hence the halving of the share price.
Yeah.
Look, here's what investors should think. The numbers today were okay. You know, it's not as if their debt's ballooning up rapidly, quickly. Yes, they're not making the profits they made previously. But the reality is a new CEO is going to come in. And my guess is there's one last slash and a burn as they get expectations right down, as they anything that's even mildly marginal in the business is kind of impaired or given negative guidance on or something. So my guess is there's one last whoopsie, and then perhaps you start to look at it. Because ultimately, outsourcing companies, it should be a great trend. It should be a super trend for the world, because ultimately, governments are trying to save money. Mm-hmm. So here's my thought, my slightly spiffy tactical thought would be sub 500p, something about that level, quite interesting. So it's 537 as we speak, so below 500 pence, I've got a flag on it, I'm going to have another look at it. But what I really want to see is the new CEO come in and say, you know, what he thinks or she thinks, and what they're thinking in terms of further impairments and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay, excellent. So that's Capital, you're right, you know, when a new CEO comes in, they do try and get all the bad news out the door, don't they? So they can start with a clean, fresh run at it. And any more companies reporting?
Yeah, well, one more, I think, a couple more of interest. Let's start with something which has actually done quite well in recent months, and that's Merlin, because obviously they had an absolute shocker, very sad tragedy on the Alton Towers, which unfortunately did impact a number of people on that particular ride. Since then, they have been coming back. The shares were down as low as 400 or pence earlier in 2016. They're now closer towards 500p. They're down a couple of percent this morning after numbers, but the numbers looked all right. They're saying that basically Legoland crunches on. It's still been a fantastic place, actually a great place to visit in my opinion, but doing great well in visitor numbers. But Alton Towers is showing a bit of recovery, plus they've got the other growth initiatives around the world in China and other places, the Middle East, etc. I would say Merlin, not a bad business, certainly a play on UK consumer and leisure predominantly, but actually I think the positive signs on Alton Towers that I see in this set of numbers is good. It's not a cheap stock by any means, but it's one where I think they've got some unique assets, and good to see them turning the corner.
Yeah, I mentioned, if you check out the chart there from 2015, it looks like a roller coaster. It's a uphill trend, but literally very volatile, up and down like a roller coaster. But it is grinding, you know. And if you hold stock there, you're probably thinking, oh no, we're going down there, we're going down, and it all of a sudden comes back up. And so it looks fine, but it's quite a volatile ride.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I see exactly what you mean. Yeah. That's a very good analogy. So basically, buy on the dippers.
Exactly. We could buy when you push by, go up the hill, chugging up the hill. And anything else there, Chris?
And then one more quick one. Cobham, five profit warnings in 2 years or something like that for the defence and aerospace company. But the reality is, finally, they've done the right thing. This is why the shares are up 3% today. They've announced a money raising, half a billion quid. It's fully underwritten. Very sensible. That's going to halve their debt, but they just announced a billion odd of debt in the last set of numbers. So that's good news. That'll take the net debt to EBITDA ratio down to 1.5 times, which is much more sensible. So finally, we might be actually seeing a bottoming of this one. I must admit, it's stock up. I've never owned, or at least I can't remember owning at any point over the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the share price chart, it's had an absolute shocker. It's down well over a half in the last year and way, way off its historic highs. Just maybe, because let's face it, you know, President Trump's been talking about higher defence spending, a bit of rationalisation going on at the Ministry of Defence here as well. Companies like Cobham, you know, they are playing some attractive longer term themes, defence and aerospace. So just maybe they're starting to get their balance sheet in order, and just maybe there is a very slow, deep value renaissance a la Rolls-Royce or something like that going on. So I think value buyers, keep an eye on this one. I think they're doing the right thing. They're getting the balance sheet in order, and they should be moving on a pace. There's probably a recovery trade to 160p would be my guess.
Yeah, so this may be a play for my, I'm buying sort of FTSE stocks for 10% gains and then getting out. You know, we've done two already. This may be a good play for that, I think. Maybe I make it 10% from here, I think, back.
I think that's right. I think there's sort of attractions in this space on these sorts of names. Look at something like Rolls-Royce as well, because I think that's very much the sort of the guide for what investors should expect. They similarly had five or so profit warnings. Look at the way that one has kind of, you know, it's at 778 pence at the moment. It's kind of found support at around about 700 pence and moved up, as you say, that 10% odd. My feeling here, value, medium term, and Rolls Royce is still 10 to 12 pounds, but you know, they need to prove up further in order to achieve that. But my feeling is that, Cobham's got that scope. So potential for 160p, deep value recovery play as they just stabilise a bit.
Yeah, okay, excellent stuff. And they pay a dividend as well, don't they? Looking at it here, I don't know if it's accurate, it's saying 8.8%,
yeah. No. Not when you're raising money and when you've had shocker profit warnings and when your problem has been too much debt, forget the dividend. Think about where the equity value may or may not go.
Yeah, okay. All right. Marvellous, Chris. Thanks very much. And speak next week, fella.
Absolutely. Pleasure. No problem.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, Extract Resources, XTR. At four, 88 Energy, that's ATD. At three, Management Resource Solutions, that's Mrs. is the ticker there, MRS. And of course, Boyd yesterday. I mean, they're not listed at the moment, are they? But Boyd by the fact that UIU Metals, John Zorbas there, taking a stake there in Management Resources. At two, most followed company, it's always there, Ascent Resources, AST. And Colin's often on the podcast, and a very nice guy he is. Very easy going with. And number one, most followed companies are hot stock, without doubt. It's URU Metals. That's URU ticker there. And of course, John Zorbas there, taking a stake in the third most followed, Management Resources. Okay, here are top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets over the last 24 hours. At five, it's Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO. Board changes. At four, Talao Energy, appointment of Shaw Capital as joint broker. At three, YOLO Leisure and Entertainment, YOLO update, reinvestment, and they've upscaled their investment in TV Player, I think it was, yeah, Simple Stream, TV Player. They separate those two, but off the top of my head, I've read so many RSs this morning, that's the trouble. I make an excuse, you know. I'll look it up now, actually, while I'm here. I will look it up as I'm talking. But I do believe it's an investment in Simple Stream, is it? TV Player, that's right, sorry. Announces that investee company TV Player, a leading UK online TV, has successfully completed an investment expansion round with A&E Networks, which is a big company. 5 million there. So they've taken an increased stake in that, or they've gone for the investment. And a good investment. I think they're doing very well, TV Player. And I advise you get the app TV Player. It's very good if you want to catch up on TV and stuff. Anyway, okay, second most liked RNS, I'm just babbling along there, is Strategic Minerals, drilling to commence at Redmore Project in Cornwall. And number one most liked RNS, it's quite unusual because it's a proposed capital raising. It's 88 Energy, that's ATD, but one of the most followed companies on Vox Markets. So I think, you know, most things they release, they will get a thumbs up. Unless it's dreadful, of course. I mean, and also the money is there being raised to do something rather than keep the lights on. You know, that's the difference. Whenever you're looking at placings, is it to keep the lights on, or is it for, you know, a plan of attack, strategy there? And that's what they're doing. Icewine 2, I think, drilling in there. All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.